Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Vornholt, the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog and this podcast, Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. And today is episode number 9, if you can believe that. I have a really special guest on with me today, someone that I've known for a couple of years. His name is Jeff Kowalczyk and he's from Columbus, Ohio. Jeff is a full-time real estate investor, and he has done several hundred deals since he opened his company in 2007, and he's not yet 30. In the past year or so, he's really scaled up his business, and that's what I want to talk to him about today, exactly how he did that. Hey, Jeff, it's good to have you today.
Hey, thanks, Sharon. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, I'm delighted that you're on. It's been a while since we did something like this, and I know about you, and I know a lot of the people know about your background. But I'm going to have you just tell everybody how you got started, how long you've been investing, and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I got started at a pretty young age in real estate. You know, when I was my mom actually is the one who got me started in the business. And, you know, when I was probably 16 years old, at that point in my life, my mom was going to a lot of different real estate seminars and so forth. And I think I attended one or two with her. I mean, this was way back when, I think when there were book courses like Robert Allen's No Money Down for the 2000s, you know, courses like that, you know, a long time ago. So, you know, I started by basically taking courses off my mom's shelves in her office and reading them and going through them. And, you know, I got to the point, you know, I was always a motivated, you know, a youngster. You know, I always had super big dreams, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Well, real estate investing and some of these courses she brought home always kind of intrigued me because I kind of, I like that lifestyle. I always wanted to make millions of dollars and, you know, these guys were doing it. So, you know, slowly when I was young, you know, I would start, you know, reading through some of those courses. And I got to the point where, you know, by time, you know, I couldn't wait till I turned 18 years old so I could legally go out and sign a contract and start doing deals. So, well, needless to say, I bought my first house at the age of 19. It was a HUD home. I had bid on probably 30, 40 HUD homes during that year and finally got a really good one, which I ended up financing and moving into. You know, at that point, I had been working in a corporate America for, you know, 2 years almost at that point. Right when I got out of high school, I got a job at a Sprint store selling cell phones. And, you know, I did great my first year. I mean, I right out of high school, you know, I was making more money than most of my high school teachers were. So, you know, it was, you know, I enjoyed it from that aspect, but I knew it wasn't for me. I knew the corporate world wasn't for me at that point. I just, you know, I wasn't happy going to work every day. I just, you know, I didn't like how different corporations do things. And, you know, it just wasn't for me. And I knew that. So, kind of at that point is when I knew that, you know, I really wanted to dig into the real estate investing thing. And, you know, from about, you know, I'd say from about the time I was 19 to, you know, 21, I really struggled in the business. And I was trying to do deals, and it just, you know, I was just struggling. And, you know, I'd do tons of research on the internet, and it just didn't, wasn't going anywhere until about 2000 and end of 07, beginning of 2008, I finally decided to get a mentor. And that's what really pushed me into this business full time. Probably 6 to 8 months after getting that mentor, I quit my full-time job and just went out on a limb. And, you know, I grinded, you know, and it was tough. But, you know, I literally had to, you know, there was no set work week. I mean, it was constant. I mean, every day, all day, I would get home at night and literally sit on the computer doing research, trying to build this business with barely any money at all. You know, just countless hours, and that's really what it took and really what pushed me to stay in this business, because, you know, a lot of people, as you know, Sharon, they get in this business and expect things to happen overnight, and sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, that's just not the case. So, you know, so that's kind of how I got started in the business, and, you know, I've went through my ups and downs, and fortunately, you know, things have been going really well now that I've been able to build a better team and kind of scale from just being a one-man show.
Well, and I think you hit upon something that, well, really a couple of things. The first thing is that you struggled. I really honestly don't know too many people that did struggle. I know some that won't admit they struggled, but pretty much this is a simple business, but it's not an easy business to learn. There are so many nuances. So that's one thing that's pretty standard to struggle. And the second thing is when you turned it around, you got a mentor. And that is huge because I wish I had gotten better mentors sooner. I don't know anybody that doesn't say that. If I'd only gotten a mentor sooner, and if I'd only gotten some help sooner, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So you went along for a time. We've known each other for a couple of years now, and you started out doing like everybody did with your first house, then you got a few more. And so how many years did you go along doing just some deals a year?
My first probably 3 years in the business, I was just, you know, I was struggling to get deals done. You know, I was trying. I just didn't have good direction until I got that mentor. Mm-hmm. Once I got that mentor and really learned the business from someone who was successful at it and was doing what I wanted to do, you know, that really changed for me. It also helped me to take action and have the confidence to go out there and grow the business and so forth. And, you know, so the first couple years, you know, were just, you know, a couple deals here and there. But I'll tell you what, Sharon, after I got my mentor, my business started to take off.
So in those years after that, the next 3 or 4 years, were you doing you were doing quite a few deals at that point in time then, every month or – you know, a decent amount every year, would you say?
Yep, I would say I was cranking it out. I had a partner at that time in my wholesaling business, and I think from 2008 to through 2010, we probably did about 100 wholesale deals just in those couple years there. So we were cranking out several, you know, every single month. And, you know, these were quick wholesale deals. So some we would make, you know, just a small fee on, you know, we weren't, you know, just, you know, pulling in crazy huge checks. You know, we'd make a few grand on each deal, but we were building mm-hmm. good relationships and ultimately allowed us to move more deals because we were kind of removing the greed component and only making a very little amount on each property and still providing good value to our end buyers. And I think that's what set me apart from most wholesalers is, you know, a lot of wholesalers where, you know, they, you know, just starting out in the business, you shouldn't look to, you know, make as much money as possible on every single deal. You should look at more providing value, you know, to your buyers to hope that they continue to come back to you. And ultimately, that's what got me to doing volume as a wholesaler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so important to build those relationships because once people know you and they trust you and they want to do business with you, then a lot of doors open for you.
Absolutely.
So you had, 100 wholesale deals in a couple of years. That's still a lot of houses. So let's talk just a second about your marketing. Were you doing direct mail, websites, or combination of different things?
I was doing a combination of everything. Direct mail has always been my bread and butter. Mm-hmm. It's always one of those things that you kind of just, you know, if it works, you stick with it. And I constantly changed my marketing pieces and really tested what type of lead flow was coming in off different marketing pieces to find out which ones were converting the best and which ones I should continue to use and which ones maybe I shouldn't use.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really big for a while on testing, constantly testing marketing materials and seeing mm-hmm. what worked. So direct mail has always been great, but, you know, for me, I really utilized everything possible that I could do on a budget. You know, I wasn't out there hiring big marketing companies to handle marketing campaigns. You know, mostly what I was doing was either free or low-cost marketing strategies, and I just tried to do as much as I possibly could of those, you know, of mm-hmm. what was working with those low-cost strategies.
Right, and you, again, you, I think you've hit upon another point that I think really sets entrepreneurs apart. Sometimes you have to just turn on a dime. You have to, if you're going along, and I've had this happen to me, where you would be using a mail piece that you'd used successfully for a period of time, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't work anymore, and you have to go, what the heck here? And you,
yep.
you have to figure out something different. And I think that's a hard lesson for people to learn, to be able to change course quickly, just
yep.
kind of cut and run in another direction. So that's a really big business, doing that many deals a year. But then I know you stepped it up one more level, and you bought packages of houses and built relationships with people. And let's kind of talk about that a little bit, how that all evolved. And was that a conscious effort on your part to do that, or did it kind of happen organically?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great question, Sharon. And, you know, it was kind of a little bit of both. You know, I've always been a big, big dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always have a huge plan and a big dream. And I knew I wanted to get there, but I just didn't know exactly how to get there and how to take my business to that next level. And I struggled with it for years. You know, I struggled from wanting to expand and hiring, you know, virtual assistants and commission-based only positions. And, you know, it just wasn't, it hadn't always worked out for me doing that. And, you know, I just felt like the time that it took for me to train, you know, people on mm-hmm. small projects, things like that, it was still the same amount of time that I was putting into it. And, you know, that just didn't, you know, that didn't go well with me. And, you know, it literally took years in order for me to get where I am and to be able to actually have a scalable business. You
mm-hmm.
know, back when, as you mentioned, you know, I did start buying packages of homes, and, you know, I knew I was wholesaling and I liked it, but, you know, that type of business for me, it came in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really got an attraction about passive income and cash flow. And I really started being attracted to that. And, you know, wholesaling didn't provide that for me. You know, if there was a winter and it was very slow, well, you know, there was no income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I didn't like that. So I knew that I had to scale my business to be able to bring in passive income and have that monthly cash flow. But at that point I didn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, for me, it was reaching out to people and, like I said earlier, removing the greed component, you know,
right.
being able to, you know, to bring in a partner, someone who could bring in that funding for me, and I could bring in my expertise, and, you know, we could develop a win-win relationship, so ultimately I could, you know, scale and grow my business. And that's really, bringing in partners and partnering with people has really, really affected my business in a positive way.
Well, that's a great point. Now, when you talk about getting a partner, was this someone that you knew or did business with?
At first, no. This was someone that I just asked around in my network for referrals. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that time, I've big on networking. Networking has always been a key to growing business and getting exposure. And, you know, basically, you know, when I found different partners for things, it was always just through my network, just asking people for referrals or asking if they know someone that might be interested in this type of project or so forth. So that's normally where I found most of my you know, partners in any venture, was just asking for referrals in within my network.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a great idea. I know you have to kind of sort out the wannabes from the people that work like you, though, because you're a real go-getter. So you wouldn't want someone that wasn't a real go-getter. I'm sure of that.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So when you bought your first package of properties, I'm assuming you bought that from a bank or from an asset manager. So how did you go about building that relationship or finding out about that avenue of real estate?
Well, that's a good question. And it's a pretty interesting story along my first bulk package that I did. My first bulk package was actually from a distressed hedge fund. And what they did was, back when the market was really, really hot, you know, I think probably 2004 to 2007, this hedge fund was providing investors with loans on investment properties with up to 100% of the purchase and rehab.
Wow.
So literally they were investors were over leveraging these properties, but they were fixing them up, you know, everything, new roof, siding, windows, all mechanicals, new. They were getting all of those funds in built into their loan. So let's take it a couple years down the road. As soon as the market crashes, these investors are all completely over-leveraged, and this hedge fund ends up getting all these properties back through deed in lieu of foreclosures, because all of them, they were in, you know, areas that really took a big hit, and the values just weren't anywhere close to what these loans were. So this hedge fund basically got all these houses back, and the company behind the hedge fund, they're a big company that has a lot of commercial assets, big hotels, large strip malls. So residential real estate was not really their business model.
Okay.
So I'll tell you how I found them was years of marketing, and I mean years.
Is that,
you know,
right?
Just as a wholesaler, you know, I targeted certain areas. Mm-hmm. And all of these houses happened to be in my certain areas. I would mail postcards to them for literally years, never get a single response.
Mm-hmm.
One day, the CEO of that hedge fund comes into town, goes to one of their vacant houses, and sees my postcard, my big, bright yellow postcard stapled to the board on the front door. He called me right then and there, and that's what started that whole deal in that relationship.
Boy, that's an incredible story.
Yeah, it was interesting how it happened, but you know, literally, it was just you know, I knew that same company had a product in my market that I was constantly looking for. So when I finally got that call and knew that there was a large amount of that product that I have been marketing for years, I was all over it. You know.
Wow. I mean, and that's another thing that I know you and I have talked about before. People just don't realize the value of mailing over and over and over again. And a lot of times you don't get a result for a long time.
Nope.
You know, I tell people that the longest I ever mailed to somebody, and this was a couple of years ago when I had bought the deal, so I could pull one out that's older than that, but at the time it was just over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had mailed a postcard to an absentee owner every month for 3 years, and she finally called. Her circumstances finally changed, which is what happened with your hedge fund.
Yep.
You know, their circumstances changed, and you were the last man standing. You were the guy that was right there in front of them when they needed you, and that's what is so... It's so important to understand about direct mail, but it's what's so awesome about the whole direct mail process. That
absolutely, the key is in the follow up. It really is.
It really is. So you bought those your first package of properties, and you talked a little bit about wanting to build passive income. So did you take that package of properties and fix them up and make them rentals? Is that your business model then for the next couple of years? You were buying and fixing up and keeping them?
Yes. Yeah, I did that in the beginning of 2000, or about the beginning, middle of 2011. And that was my business model, was to buy and hold. You know, these houses, again, you know, when I bought them, they were, most of them had been fully rehabbed head to toe back in 2006, 2007-ish. So, you know, these houses, you know, they didn't need much. And I'll tell you this, Sharon, too, this hedge fund had hundreds of homes, and I didn't have funding to buy all of them. I knew I had landed a good funding partner, but I couldn't take care of all of them. So what I did was cherry-picked. I was the first guy into this, and I cherry-picked the best 100 homes, including about, at that time, about 70 of those 100 homes were already rehabbed, already rented, and we were able to pick them up for literally pennies on the dollar, because this hedge fund needed out. They literally needed to sell fast before they would have had to lay off employees. I mean, I think they mentioned at one time they would have had to lay off 30 employees if they couldn't get this deal done quickly. So they had a very large, big sense of urgency. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I had to come together and pull the trigger pretty fast on it. But we were able to secure, you know, literally for pennies on the dollars, and a lot of these were already rented. So, you know, my goal was to have that business model and constantly have that cash flow coming in. I was very attracted to that. But my funding was only for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that created a scenario where after 2 years of having these things rehabbed and having seasoned rentals, I was in a position where, one, I would either have to find another source of funding to pay back the initial 2 year funding, or simply sell some of the properties. And so this past year, it's funny, I bought them from a distressed hedge fund, and it's funny that right at my 2 year mark, when my funding was coming due, I was reached out to from a startup hedge fund that was looking for turnkey properties in my market. And it
what are the odds of that?
I know. it was definitely another good timing thing. You know, they were a startup hedge fund. They had a good chunk of capital that they wanted to get to work quickly. And you know, at that point I had seasoned rentals that were completely rehabbed, tenants in place, paying monthly. And that's what they were attracted to. They wanted to put their capital in something that they could see the return coming immediately.
Immediately.
And the best part is they were willing to pay a premium for my properties to have it to where they didn't have to, you know, rehab, place tenants, just so they could see that money coming in instantly. You know, because they had all this startup capital, and they were paying, you know, probably paying their investors interest, but it was just sitting in account waiting to be funded. So, you know, they really gave me a good deal on it, which ultimately allowed me to pay back, to sell those and pay back my funder in full. So it really worked out. It was a 2 year project, and it's continuing. Since then I've bought in several packages, you know, 6 homes, 10 homes, 8 homes, 12 homes. Nothing as big as that one, but you know, that's really what started it for me.
Now, did you said you found a startup hedge fund that was looking for turnkey properties? How did you find them, or did they find you? How did that happen?
They actually found me. You know, I think they were researching the Columbus market. You know, this was a market that they were interested in. They had previous ventures in Michigan, and I believe one other state, but they were looking to start in Columbus. Columbus really attracted them. And, you know, they must have saw maybe one piece of marketing for one turnkey property that I was selling, and it just got the conversation rolling. And, you know, when I told them I had that product they were looking for, They flew out here. I toured, gave them a tour, and just kind of went from there. But, you know, it really worked out, and, you know, it's just simply exposure on the internet, which got them to, you know, reach out.
Okay, so your exposure on the internet in as you were selling turnkey properties, or?
I want to say there was one duplex. It was actually the first duplex I ever bought before this package. You know, I have a completely separate, it's under my personal name, and I was trying to sell that one duplex under my personal name. And I'm pretty sure that that's how they might have saw something for that, and that's how they reached out to me. You know,
wow.
At that point, I didn't really marketing these, but when they said this is what we're looking for, I said, okay, you know, that's something I have, and just kind of went from. We ended up doing a pretty big deal with them.
Well, I know you did, and I know that's got to. Having some rentals, you know, just getting rid of all that big giant debt has got to be a really good feeling. And now you've got some rentals. You were able to keep some of the rentals that you really wanted to keep and use those for cash flow.
Yep. And that's kind of, yeah, you know, and the best part is, you know, we were able to buy them, you know, at such a discount that, you know, I only had to sell a chunk of them to, you know, pay off my loan. So virtually immediately upon paying off my loan, I had a good portfolio of free and clear cash flowing homes, and also a chunk of capital now that I could continue to invest in that business.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about that business that I'm not sure if I mentioned to you, and you know, over the year, last year or so, is, you know, one of my goals was not to touch a dime from that portfolio. So basically, I don't pay myself anything. I let all my monthly rent income roll right over, and I'm continuing to buy houses with it.
Wow. That's a pretty awesome thing there. I don't know really another 28-year-old that's got a portfolio of paid-off property, so you've really done amazing things in a very short time. So are you still looking to add more properties? I mean, you're still looking to continue on with this particular business model?
Yes. You know, as you know, I have two separate companies right now, both different business models, different entity structures. And, yes, I'm growing both. My rental portfolio, as of right now, I'm continuously looking for packages of homes, apartment complexes. You know, I'm really looking to grow that portfolio. But I also have the other business, which is my buy, fix, sell business, where we're doing, you know, high-end renovations, buying, selling, fixing up, and reselling those homes. So it's a completely different business model, but, you know, it allows me to bring leads for both companies in through my marketing efforts. You know, I have two completely different buying models that I can approach all my lead flow with, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. You have two exit strategies. So, boy, that really does give you a whole world of options. And I know for you, you like rehabbing. I love rehabbing. That's the fun stuff for me.
A lot more than
the tenant stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, starting out with tenants, you know, I learned a lot of very tough lessons, especially investing in tougher neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, over time, it's, you know, it's that cash flow that kind of, yeah, I can look past the all the struggles and the stressful side of being a landlord, you know, because I am very attracted to that monthly cash flow coming in. But you're right, Sharon, the renovations, really taking a house from, you know, nothing to just amazing is something I'm very passionate about. So, you know, I really enjoy doing those high-end type of rehabs.
Yeah, high-end is always more fun, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that you went along for a long time. You had a partner, but you didn't really have someone to help you a whole lot in the business, and you've added an employee this recently.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've actually, now I have two full-time employees, and it was very tough. So yeah, it was tough for me to get to that point. It finally came about through a lot of trial and error, hiring part-time people, hiring virtual assistants, hiring people on a commission-only type pay structure. None of those options seemed to really work for me. They were temporary options. For me, anyways, you know, other people it may have worked better for, but for me, it just didn't seem to be the long-term option I was looking for. You know, I was looking for more for people that, you know, were competent, passionate, and could see my vision, you know, long-term for my companies and where I wanted them to go. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I was always scared of is, you know, if you want to bring someone in full time, you have a salary you have to pay. And one of my biggest fears was, what if I'm not able to make payroll? What if I have a couple slow months and I can't make that payroll? That was always the biggest fear of mine with hiring someone full time. But I'll tell you this, Sharon, it was one of the best things I've ever done. It's truly allowed me to scale my business and grow it a lot more rapidly. Mm-hmm. Now that I have people that share the same vision as me and are in there full-time doing things that, honestly, they're much better at than I am at. You know, I'd like to focus my time on things that I'm best at and things that, are generating the most revenue for the company.
Well, and I think that's where really the pavement divides here. You've got your guys who are rehabbers and guys and gals, they're rehabbers, and they do, whether it's one house, you know, a year or one a month or two a month, but they're out there doing everything themselves. They may be managing the subs or whatever, but they're still going home at night doing the bookkeeping and all of that.
Yeah.
But every person that I know that has really scaled up their business to be a big business has somebody that does it for them. They are the creator of the business.
Absolutely.
And that's it. And I met someone recently who will be having a podcast come out next week who has done just that. He's doing about 100 rehabs a year. Wow. And he couldn't even tell you what the criteria is for putting a furnace in. He has a general contractor that he has a good working relationship with that does all of that. They've set up their parameters for this is how much we'll pay for everything. He gets paid for deliverability. And this guy's off with his kids all the time, you know. So listening to him talk about this and then listening to you, I know that it's absolutely possible with the right systems and the right people. That's the key. So, do you see yourself then moving into more commercial projects in the future? I know you talked a little bit about those, but that seems to be where most of the investors I know, they get to where they've got a boatload of single family homes. Mm-hmm. They get some apartments, then they buy a couple strip malls or warehouse office space. They just grow. You know, it's just like the next step.
Yeah, and I can definitely understand that is in my goals and visions for my portfolio is to, you know, kind of go towards more commercial or apartment complexes is what I'm looking at now as well. And, you know, one of the big reasons why, Sharon, is it seems that getting financing for commercial seems to be a little bit easier than residential real estate when it comes to, you know, getting financing for rental properties. There's a lot of really good financing out there for apartments. And, you know, just being the fact that, you know, once you've had 100 homes and, you know, you're running all over town and your contractors are running all over town, it really sounds nice with the fact that you can have one building on one property, you know, say 100 units, and you can have an on-site maintenance guy and an on-site, you know, leasing or property manager. Mm-hmm. And it just makes, when it comes to time, valuing my time, you know, that seems to be something that I, you know, I think would be a good fit for my portfolio and a good addition, you know, to add an asset like that apartment complex in there, you know, on top of, you know, having single families everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I think you certainly know where you're going. You know, I always like to ask people, what do they see for their business in the next year or two? And I think you've answered that question perfectly. You've got a plan, you've worked your plan, and you have the intelligence to add the things at the right time. So, I think you've got a huge advantage in your market. People in Columbus should be really afraid of Jeff.
Well,
if they're,
you know,
buying all the houses.
I'm trying, but, you know, the big thing that's changed for me is really getting in the mindset of, what can I do to work on my business and not as much in my business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look back at it, you know, initially I was focused on a lot of the wrong things, you know. I mean, yeah, you got to get the work done inside your business, and you have to focus on the important details, but, you know, I wasn't focusing on the key activities, which, you know, were ultimately moved my business forward in a strategic way. So basically, you know, for the longest time, I just felt stagnant because I was doing so much that I shouldn't be doing. And now I've kind of realized that, you know, I need to trust in other people and delegate and build a team that can, you know, that can help run my business, and I can focus my time on more on working on the business instead of in it, and really focusing on growth. That's been one of my biggest things for this year. Big goal for this year is to really focus on the growth of my businesses, and it's been going very well since.
Well, I think you're definitely on the right track, and I tell everybody that you could probably retire really young if that turns out to be what you want to do, because you've ramped up your business very quickly but very systematically. So you have a great business model, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Appreciate that. And you know, it just takes time. You know, again, really what changed it for me is bringing in a team. That's really helped me to grow my business, is bringing in people I can trust and have that same vision as me. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to what the next couple of years bring as well.
Well, I'm going to be sure to check back in the next couple of years, and we'll see, because I'm sure you're going to be doing great things a couple of years from now. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You've always got so much really good information to share. People can listen to you and see that you were the guy that started out with one house, the same as their one guy that started out with one house. But if you get a vision and you get a plan, you work your plan, and you do the things like you've pointed out, you know, you've got to know when to bring on people. You've got to know when to stop doing things. That's just really something that's hard for everybody to learn, but it's a really critical thing that you need to learn. Well, thanks once again, Jeff. We've got, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you in the future. We'll be doing an update to this show for sure. And if anybody, well, let me ask you this, Jeff. What website, do you have websites you would like people to go back to where they can find you?
Well, you know, I am currently working on websites, but I do have a Facebook fan page that people can connect with me on. It's facebook.com/JeffKnowsHouses.
Okay, Jeff Knows Houses. Great idea. Everybody's doing that right now. So I'll be sure and put that information on the show notes of the podcast. And thanks again, Jeff, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing.
Sounds good. Great chatting with you, Sharon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care.